Welcome to the Friday, April 28th episode of Briefings with Butts, our 31st episode of the 2022-2023 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. We hope this weekly update keeps you informed, connected, and most importantly, celebrates the great things happening in our schools and our community. First, I'd like to congratulate this week's trivia winner, our Classroom Teachers Association President Scott Hatfield, who is a second grade teacher at Maplewood Elementary. Congratulations, Scott. You win a Jeans Day for yourself and your team at Maplewood Elementary School. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in. It's been another fantastic week in the MSD of Wayne Township. On Monday, the Board of Education had the opportunity to recognize the Ben Davis Basketball 4A State Champions, as well as our VEX Robotics State Champs, both together from Chapelwood Elementary School. It was an exciting day of recognitions, and the board had an absolutely wonderful time. On Tuesday, I had the opportunity to visit the Transition Center to meet students and staff and get a preview of the beautiful jewelry that will be available at Arts Alive next weekend. In fact, I bought two pairs of earrings from a student by the name of Destiny. You won't want to miss these. If you're looking for a great pair of earrings, Destiny has some to sell and can tell you all about how she's making jewelry to support the Transition Center. Also on Tuesday, our Wayne Township Classroom Teachers Association hosted our annual Teacher of the Year celebration. Once again, we were in the Little Theater at Ben Davis High School celebrating teachers from each one of our schools as nominated and voted on by their peers. At the end of the evening, we had the opportunity to recognize our elementary and secondary district teachers of the year. Congratulations to Desiree Tyson of Westlake Elementary School. She was named the district elementary teacher of the year. And Terry Howell of Chapel Hill 7th and 8th grade center named the district secondary teacher of the year. Congratulations to both Desiree and Terry. We look forward to going out to their schools here in the next week to celebrate and announce their Teacher of the Year for the district in front of their students. On Wednesday, we showed our appreciation for the amazing secretaries, media support staff, business office staff, payroll, and routing specialists who work tirelessly, often behind the scenes, to support our schools. Later on Wednesday evening, I was able to attend the National Honor Society induction ceremony at Ben Davis 9th Grade Center. What an amazing job the students and staff did to celebrate the induction of our students from the 9th Grade Center into the National Honor Society. It was great to see the families and the friends there to celebrate as well. It was an absolutely wonderful evening. On Thursday morning, I sent an email to all staff asking to please contact your senators. We had found out Wednesday evening that the budget run was not favorable for traditional public schools in the state of Indiana. I want to say a very special thank you to all the staff members who contacted their senators and representatives. With our staff living in multiple places around central Indiana, we know that we have a broad impact on senators and representatives, and it made a difference. For the first time in the remembrance of anyone, potentially the first time in the history of the state of Indiana, a third budget run was drafted for the conference committee review. We look forward to receiving that and reviewing that, and we know that it will be voted on tonight before the General Assembly goes sin-die for the year. Well, let's shift gears. It's fun to celebrate the academic accomplishments of those who are at the beginning of their high school journey and amazing to witness the growth that will happen over the next 3 years. This week, I am very excited to have as our guest the Ben Davis High School valedictorian, meaning the top student in a class of almost 1,000 students strong, number one academic student for the class of 2023, Fana Ghazal. Welcome, Fana.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
That's absolutely first in your class.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. So how long have you known? I mean, does this go back into junior high that you knew? Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk about this process, because I've talked to other students in the past and parents about, and I guess, did you always know that you wanted to be valedictorian?
Well, coming from a background where education was always prioritized because that wasn't an opportunity my family had back home, it was always ingrained in us from a very young age. But when I got to Chapel Hill and the Horizons program, it gave me a huge jumpstart with the weighted high school courses from the beginning, and then coming into freshman year being ranked third, I believe, is what I was at freshman year. It might have been fourth.
Okay.
But it wasn't necessarily something I was gunning for. I was happy with third. I was happy with whatever spot I got because I knew that I always put my best efforts into my academics. But being first is definitely sweet. It's nice.
So you talk about back home. So let's dig into that a little bit. Where is back home?
So my mom and dad are both from Eritrea, but my mother specifically, who is a single mom and she's been raising me and my brother, she comes from a little village called Akhrur. It's in a place called Hagareseb, which is known as the poorer parts of Eritrea. I mean, she literally, her family lives in what I guess you could call a hut. Mm. You know, there's rarely running water, electricity, and to come here and have this opportunity for her children, I mean, it's amazing.
For our listeners who don't know where Eritrea is, tell them a little bit more about it.
Okay, so it is in East Africa, mm-hmm. very, very close with Ethiopia. We're known as sister countries.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did your mom come to the United States?
So my mother came here in 2001. She came on asylum mm-hmm. because there was a war going back in Eritrea back then. And it was a very difficult process for her. I remember when she first told me, she was crying. I mean, this was a cultural shock. She was a new place, nobody she knows, a language she doesn't speak. And obviously she had a community here of, with our church community that helped her out a lot. But she was very, it was a hard process for her.
So was it through the church that she came to Indianapolis?
No. So she had some help from family members mm. who were here, but they were in a different part of mm-hmm. America. And then when she did come into the church, we attend a church called Kidane Mehret. It's an Eritrean Orthodox church. And there were a lot of people there who had settled in and were able to help her get her driver's license, get past her citizenship test, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk to us then about your mother being first generation, being an immigrant, obviously, mm-hmm. Who came to this country not speaking the language, not knowing our cultures. Talk about how you have navigated through school and how she's helped you along that journey and how she's been there with you.
Okay, yeah. So growing up, there was a lot of times where I would have to translate, you know, call the bill companies, help them out. So I feel like from a very young age, I had to grow up and be there and take that position because there was nobody else to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that definitely played a part in my academics. I never was the type of person to be like, I don't understand it, I'm going to give up. No, I utilized Rose Holman, any online resources I could. It had to get done. I mean, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go back to, you talked about freshman year. You came in third or fourth, not sure exactly which, but you knew you were top 10. You knew you were right up there in the running. I'm already for the top scholar for the class of 2023. How did you navigate your coursework? How did you know what courses to take and what to pursue so that you could keep that rigor, but also I'm assuming you pursued a lot of weighted courses?
Mm-hmm. So one thing I do want to emphasize is that rank is not an accurate determination of intelligence whatsoever.
I completely agree. I appreciate your perspective on that, but that doesn't diminish the fact that you're top student, but I would agree. There are lots of other factors in there. But
yeah, awesome. Going into it, I knew that. Freshman year, I knew it was dependent on how many weighted classes I took. And for a long time, I debated dropping certain classes like orchestra because they weren't weighted. But at the end of the day, I knew that AP classes and honors courses were the way to go. Obviously, honors and AP are weighted the same, but I did want that college credit going in. So I took as many AP classes as I could. I took classes over the summer. I was just constantly on myself about making sure I got an A. I never, ever got less than an A minus on anything.
And I'm assuming that you have some subjects that are your favorites and some that you probably had to work a little bit harder in.
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject?
Oh, I love English. Uh-huh. I love English so much. Writing is my forte. I can write you any paper on anything easily, but math? Not my thing. I took AP Calc last year, and I have never struggled so much in a class in my life. But I did have a very supportive community within our classroom. Mr. Mills was great at making sure that we all knew each other, knew, like, he, from the jump, gave us his number. If we had any questions about the math homework, we were always able to text him and ask him. But, I mean, we used to do eight-hour study days. It was a very hard class.
That sounds like my days taking statistics through my doctoral courses. Same kind of a situation. We studied all day Saturday. We got together. We actually talked the professor into meeting with us on outside of the class hours. And for some, there's some people get that really easily, and some people really struggle with it. So I think it's great for our listeners to hear that even the valedictorian of Ben Davis High School struggles a little bit with math. Even though you got A's in all the courses, you had to work extra hard to do that. So you mentioned English, and it's funny. I saw a segment just earlier this week about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT, I think is the name. And they did, there was a, and I don't remember the university, but this university did a study where they compared essays that were written by the individual and an essay that was written by ChatGPT and put those two together. And they tried to determine which was which. And in some cases, they got it wrong. The person who actually wrote the article did a better job than ChatGPT did. So what's your thoughts on that? And matter of fact, this professor said, I'm going back to paper and pencil tests and paper and pencil essays only, nothing that is typed, because I want our students to be able to learn the process.
And that's so funny that you bring that up, because I came into school at 7:30 this morning. I know my teachers are here by then, so I come in to do my homework. So I came into Ms. Dawson's classroom, and she was talking about ChatGPT, and she was very upset because it's become a global sensation. Mm-hmm. I mean, students everywhere are using it, and she described it as soulless writing, and I completely agree. Honestly, writing is a part of our everyday lives. Even though we're putting it on paper, it turns into the conversation and the rhetoric that we use in our everyday conversations. And it's so important to develop that throughout our high school careers, because if you don't have that ability to articulate how you feel, what you think, then you have nothing. Mm-hmm. And if you're using ChatGPT because it's easier, in the end, you're only hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely, genuinely believe that.
You know, it's, I have gotten away from writing personally myself with my own just writing for the sake of writing until I went through a program this last year through a fellowship that I had at Yale University. And one of the professors that, and I dreaded it every single Friday because that's how we always ended our week, was she came in and made us write. Mm-hmm. And then led us through some activities. But I did find great freedom. Mm-hmm. A tremendous release just in putting my thoughts on paper. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, that's how a lot of authors actually write books. They free write for a while, then they come back and they start to find themes and they start to find areas that they want to build out. Do you find the same thing when you're writing?
Yeah, so I keep a journal. I actually struggle with putting my emotions down on paper, but when I write, I feel like that's the only time I'm able to freely speak and give out my opinion without any room for negativity. Mm-hmm. I mean, my opinion matters. What my perspective is as important as anybody else's. And when I put that down on paper or a Google Doc, it's immortalized. That's how we immortalize ourselves. That's how we maintain the knowledge of our past, our music, our experiences, what makes us human. I love writing for the way it captures everything better than a picture could, I believe.
I love how you said that. That is incredible. Let's talk about, so you're going to take your talents, you're going to take your valedictorian status. And by the way, I also asked this of our valedictorian at Ben Davis University High School. Are you glad that that Wayne Township names the valedictorian at the end of the seventh semester? Does that help you when you're applying for colleges and scholarships and all of those types of things? I know some schools wait until the end of the eighth semester, so right before graduation. Does naming that and having that cut off at the seventh semester, is that helpful?
That's a tough question, because yes, it is helpful. When I was I'm sure I wouldn't have gotten into the colleges that I got to if I didn't have that rank right there to showcase my academic perseverance. But at the same time, once rank is finalized, my goals are just, they're done, you know? So it's a lot. Senioritis is real. Senioritis is real. It's hard to...
The motivator is gone.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to, colleges will see your end of the year transcripts, sure. and that is part of the motivation. And like I talked about in my speech at Top 30, you don't need to do things just to receive academic validation, but for the sake of educational curiosity. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big part of my development here. But I mean, the ranking thing at the middle of the year has its cons and pros.
Sure.
I think it has more pros than cons. It takes off a bit of a stress.
Sure.
Especially when we're AP exams, hearing back from colleges, we do need some of that stress relieved. Mm-hmm. But I will say it did amp the senioritis a little bit.
Yeah, I understood. You mentioned Top 30, an annual celebration of the top 30 academic students, and they recognized two of their teachers who made the biggest impact on their academic career. Who did you recognize this year?
So I recognized my first grade teacher, Mr. Johnson, and I also recognized my eighth grade English teacher, Mr. Brumback.
Outstanding. And there is no greater recognition than to be recognized by a former student and to know that the work that you did, even now 5 years later almost, still is impactful and making a difference. So I know both of your teachers were very excited to have been recognized and greatly appreciated you choosing them.
I know, and it's tough because I could name so many other teachers who have impacted me just as much. But truly, our English department here at Ben Davis is amazing. Every English teacher I've ever had, I've loved. And I will continue to maintain a relationship with them outside of high school. They've helped me not only in my writing skills, but my personal skills. Just learning how to navigate people, the world, uh-huh. myself, how I feel, how to articulate that properly. I love all my English teachers.
You've mentioned a couple times, we've talked about after high school, you've talked about college, you're going to Brown. Mm-hmm. Talk about your selection to Brown.
So I struggled a little bit with choosing Brown because going into it, it was my top school. And to be completely honest, I had no faith. I was like, I'm not going to get in. It's fine. I'll go to IU Bloom. It's okay. And then I got all my college letters back and I got into almost every single school I applied to, which gave me a huge dilemma. I mean, it's a great dilemma to have. Don't Absolutely. Get me wrong. But I was struggling between picking NYU, Northwestern, Brown, and Notre Dame. And then, you know, when you factor in financial aid, I narrowed it down to Brown and Notre Dame. And I just visited Notre Dame recently. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But one thing about Brown is the open curriculum and the way they don't restrict students in what they want to learn. For me, I want to make sure that I love what I learn, and I want to be able to try as many different subjects as I can without feeling entrapped by my major. And that's another thing about Brown. They don't have majors. They have directional pathways. They have concentrations, and they don't have ranking there, which is great because I'm going to be competing against myself and not my peers.
Yeah. Wow. And what will you pursue?
So right now I'm thinking biology and psychology, somewhere in the neuroscience department with a concentration in racial disparities within our healthcare system. Because for me, after I finish my first 4 years, I do want to go into the Peace Corps for 2 years. My biggest direction in my life that I want to go in is focusing on fixing underdeveloped countries and making sure they have access to as many resources as we do. Mm-hmm. So I am a big believer in you can't fix a problem until you've experienced it, until you've seen it with your own eyes and understand it in its entire problem. I mean, so that's the whole point with going to the Peace Corps, being able to be hands-on, see the issues for what they are and not how the media presents them. And then going on into grad school, I'm not exactly sure if I'm going to do law school, med school, PhD, master's, but I do know that at some point I'm going to pursue more education after I finish my undergrad.
That's awesome. I couldn't agree with you more. Even in my current position and my current state of life, I'm always looking for that next opportunity to learn something different, to learn more, which is why I had my experience at Yale this last year. It was just a great opportunity. But you mentioned orchestra earlier in our conversation, and you talked about there's more to being, I don't remember exactly how you put it, but there's more to being smart. There's more to being well-rounded sure. academically than a class rank. Mm-hmm. Right? That's not the only identifier for having academic prowess, mm-hmm. right? So talk to us about other things. You are the Ben Davis, you're the senior class president this year. Mm-hmm. So what has that been like?
Okay, so I mean, I would like to say that it's been amazing and whatnot, but obviously, you know, in a sense, you are a politician as well, mm-hmm. and you've experienced what it's like having to deal with multiple different perspectives. So in that sense, I will say, yes, it's been great. It's taught me how to navigate, like, people and how to have meaningful conversations without being rude or giving off the wrong impression. But boy, is it tough. Oh, my gosh. I have never received so much criticism in my life from other people. And a big part of it is knowing how to be like, I'm sorry, here's what I can do to fix it. Uh-huh. Or, I'm sorry, what do you think I should do to fix it?
Sure.
Just hearing people out plays a huge part in it. And I don't think that's something I realized before becoming class president. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't take it back for the world. I love having that position and being able to talk to people. But I will admit, there are some difficulties that I wasn't aware of before becoming class president.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's, as you mentioned, it's an elected position, one that you had to campaign for and run for, but certainly one that has a lot of parameters because there are certain structures by which you have to operate. Mrs. Squire gets to make the decision on some of those parameters, of course. And there's certain things you can and can't do that I'm not sure all students understand.
Yeah, I don't think I understood that, honestly, going in. There's been situations where it's like, I'm sorry, no, we cannot do that event, or I'm sorry, no, we cannot do that. And I'm a very curious person. I'd be like, why? Why? So I can come up with a rebuttal.
Yeah.
And these people in places of authority here at Ben Davis, they know better than I do. And sometimes it's hard to accept that I'm not always right. And it's been tough, but it's helped me to realize that I can't always be the right person in the situation. And I can't always have the last say. Sometimes it's better to sit back and listen to those who know better than I do.
Sure. Well, and have a different perspective,
yeah.
Right? The kind of more global perspective of looking at things and having information that you wouldn't have any reason mm-hmm. to have. So as we get ready to wrap up here, you have just over 6 weeks left mm-hmm. in your high school career. Just over 6 weeks left before you're going to stand before an audience of 20,000 or so people and give a speech. Which is kind of cool because you can't give two speeches. You're not giving one as president you are as president and valedictorian, but I understand that our vice president gets to give a speech this year as well, which is super cool. Glad to hear that. What are you looking forward to most in this last 6.5 weeks?
Oh, my friends, I'm going to miss them so much. I feel like Ben Davis is very good at having such a diverse environment, and I've had multiple different friend groups throughout the years, but I truly feel like I found my family, like my found family in this last year of school, because I, through ASA and the African Student Association, uh-huh. I was able to meet people who come from similar but completely different backgrounds than me, and we've been able to connect and bond, and I'm so, so sad that I'm leaving them to go 13 hours away, but these last 6 weeks are kind of an opportunity to spend as much time as I can with them, and just seeing them for how beautifully smart they are, I'm so lucky to be able to experience that, and Ben Davis provided that.
I hope everybody heard that. If you didn't, hit rewind, go back, listen to it again. But I want to finish with some words of wisdom from the valedictorian of the class of 2023 for Ben Davis University High School for our incoming freshmen. We have, or even back to 7th and 8th grade, because you mentioned you started taking high school classes when you were at Chapel Hill in the 7th and 8th grade. What advice do you give for them, knowing what you know now, 4 or 6 years later, depending on how far you go back, what's your best advice for them on enjoying the high school experience, on getting the most out of what Ben Davis High School has to offer, and just pursuing their dreams?
3 words pretty much sum it up. Life goes on. The stupid rumor you heard or the little fight you got in with your friend, it feels big and it feels dramatic and it feels like the world's going to end, but it's not. It's going to be a lesson. It's an experience that you had to go through, and high school can be the best years of your life or it can be the worst, but it's literally what you make of it. If you decide that one little argument with a friend or a bad grade on a test or an embarrassing moment in the hallway is going to ruin your day, then it's going to ruin your day and most likely the rest of your week. But if you take it in and you're like, it's fine, you know, I made a mistake or they made a mistake, it doesn't define me, it doesn't define my future, it doesn't define how I feel right now, then you'll be fine. You'll have an amazing experience. And it might take a little bit to get to that comfortable spot where you have these friends that you'll love for the rest of your life, but you'll get there. If you just put your head down, do your work, learn to love and laugh and deal with all the negative emotions in a positive manner, you'll get there.
Great advice. And we may grab that clip for some other opportunities, some other media opportunities here in the MSD of Wayne Township, especially as we're talking to some of our younger learners. Ladies and gentlemen, again, one of our guests this week on this week's Briefings with Butts, our Ben Davis High School Class of 2023 valedictorian, Fana Gazaw. Fana, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We are looking forward to hearing your graduation speech and to seeing what you do in the future.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Well, coming up tomorrow, April the 29th, is the Stoutfield 5K at 9:30 a.m. at Stoutfield Park. The weather forecast looks tremendous. I will be out there running with all of our students and staff, as well as the community from Stoutfield, and as I hear, maybe a few other schools. So looking forward to running the 5K, 9:30 a.m., Stoutfield Park, next to Stoutfield Elementary School. We'll also be announcing our newest additions to the Ben Davis High School Alumni Wall in a program tomorrow afternoon. We have 13 inductees, such a large group this year because of the pandemic and the time that we were not able to recognize our alumni. So we're looking forward to inducting 13 new members to the Ben Davis High School Alumni Wall tomorrow night. The application deadline for the Wayne Township Education Foundation's traditional grant program is coming up on Monday, May 1st. We'll include a link for additional information in today's Briefings with Butts Parent Square message. Be sure to mark your calendars to come out and see the amazing talent of our students at the Wayne Township Arts Alive session next Saturday. That's a week from tomorrow, May the 6th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You will not want to miss it. Again, that's held at Ben Davis High School for Arts Alive for all of our students in Wayne Township. Don't forget to take a moment to nominate someone for the 25th Annual MG Raby Awards. Nomination forms are due by May 10th. And we've included a link also in today's Briefings with Butts Parent Square message. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week to hear the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to once again end with a quote from John Lewis. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne. You are Wayne. We are Wayne. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.